Skagway Borough and White Pass officials host a town hall meeting Friday evening to discuss a pending multi-million dollar Tidelands lease. And Klukwan Steelcat Kwan Heritage Center receives a Rasmussen grant. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Greta Mart. Those stories and more up next. Skagway Borough officials are hosting a town hall meeting on Friday to discuss the pending Tidelands lease with White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. The meeting is the first of two informational sessions scheduled prior to a special election on August 25th. Last week, the Skagway Borough Assembly approved an ordinance authorizing the municipality to lease Tidelands property to White Pass through 2050. But it is the voters who will decide in the August special election whether or not to allow the municipality to go forward with the multi-million dollar lease. From 6 to 8 p.m. in Skagway Assembly Chambers, White Pass and borough officials will be on hand to answer questions about the 35-year-long lease. The agreement is expected to bring in about $11 million to borough coffers. The lease will give the municipality access to expand the town's port as part of the Gateway Project. Right now, the city doesn't have access to the entire port because the railroad leases and controls much of the Tidelands. At the July 6th Skagway Borough Assembly meeting, Assembly members Gary Hansen and Spencer Morgan voted against the lease ordinance. Four voted in favor. In addition to Friday's town hall meeting, another informational session is tentatively scheduled for August 11th. The Rasmussen Foundation recently approved a $750,000 grant for interior construction of Klukwan's Geokat Kwan Heritage Center. The Rasmussen Foundation board paid a visit to Haines and Skagway in June. They saw the Chilkat Indian Village's Heritage Center during that trip. Rasmussen Foundation Communications Director Cassandra Stalzer said the group appreciated learning about the background of the center and the importance of preserving the artifacts set to be housed there. No one from the Heritage Center was available for comment this week. Project Director Lonnie Hotch said in a previous interview that the center was waiting on approval of the Rasmussen grant before continuing with interior construction. The Geokat Kwan Center was the recipient of another grant last month. The $107,000 grant from the New York-based Cerdna Foundation will fund six pieces of art for the center's cultural landscape exhibit. While the Rasmussen board was in Haines, they announced a $35,000 matching grant for the Chilkat Valley Community Foundation. Those funds will go toward growing the community foundation's endowed assets. The Heritage Center and Community Foundation grants are part of $7.6 million in grants and initiatives announced by the Rasmussen Foundation late last week. This year's return of pink salmon in Southeast Alaska has started off slower than 2013's record-setting harvest, the parents of this year's pinks. About a month into the purse seine season, but still weeks before the peak, some pink salmon are starting to show up in commercial seine catches. Andy Piston is the pink and chum salmon project leader for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Southeast.
It is early. Typically, we're in statistical week 29, and typically we've only seen about, on average, still only about 5% of the harvest in southern Southeast Alaska and maybe 8 or 9% in northern Southeast. So it's very early, but so far things look pretty good in northern Southeast, but it's been a little bit slow in southern Southeast Alaska so far.
Another seine opening was scheduled for today, although the department did not open any of the districts on the south end of the panhandle. Piston expects the commercial catch to near about 2 million pinks after the Thursday opening. Going into the season, the department had forecast a strong harvest of somewhere between 37 and 79 million humpback salmon, with a point estimate of 58 million. This year's run are the offspring from the record-setting returns of 2013, a year that saw a catch of 95 million. In late July and early August of that year, the fleet was totaling 8 million fish each opening, and fishermen reported seeing those fish everywhere. While this year's run still looks to be strong, Piston does not think it resembles the 2013 season.
So far this year, it's pretty clear, I think, at this point, that we're not going to see anything like 2013. You know, we look at sex ratios and things like that, and they've been running, usually early in the season, you see a very high proportion of males, and then as you get later in the season, you start seeing the proportion of females get higher and higher. And so far, in most of the samples we've had, the proportion of males has been lower than average. And we did see a little bit of an uptick in some of our test fisheries this week where the proportion of males was a little higher. So hopefully that'll indicate run timings more on the normal side.
Fishing Game contracts with Seine Boats to do test fishing in several areas of Southeast. So far, that test fishing this year has produced mixed results, with some weeks around average for pink numbers and other weeks below average. The big question mark is how pinks would survive warmer than normal ocean temperatures in the Pacific. Piston notes the early indications of the run strength were strong.
We know from NOAA does trawl sampling to look at juvenile salmon leaving some of the main corridors in northern Southeast Alaska, and we know we had great parent year escapements. We know a lot of juvenile pink salmon were moving out into the ocean, but so far it looks like, from what we're seeing with the adult returns, it looks like survival rates may have been quite a bit lower than average out there in the ocean this year.
Early catches this summer have yielded larger fish than the average, nearly 4.5 pounds. Historically, other years that have produced fish that large have accompanied an average or below average number of fish caught. The Alaska Native Sisterhood was formed 100 years ago in Wrangell, and the community will welcome a few hundred visitors this fall for the ANS Centennial Celebration. Sandy Churchill is the president of Wrangell's ANS chapter, also known as Camp No. 1. She says up to 500 people will come to Wrangell for 4 days of live music, speakers, and possibly a parade.
We have all these different committees, transportation, housing, we're hoping to fill up the hotels and it'll be a good boost in our economy for October.
Alaska Native Sisterhood started as an auxiliary to the Alaska Native Brotherhood, which supports civil rights for Indigenous people. Members also raise money for scholarships and spread cultural knowledge. Churchill says ANS delegates, their families, and the descendants of the organization's founders will be in town October 7th through the 10th.
Our keynote is Ethel Lund. She's from Wrangell, and she was the search CEO, and so we're pretty proud of her and her accomplishments, and of course being a woman and a member of the sisterhood.
Churchill says Lund is also a past grand president, and she'll join other past presidents on a panel to discuss the organization's history. Churchill says preparing for the 100th anniversary has encouraged more women to get involved with ANS.
We were just having our annual conventions and, making money to go to conventions and making money for scholarships. But now there's this huge goal in front of us we've kind of been stirred. We were kind of quiet, and now we're building up that our membership and getting people excited about being in ANS.
Churchill says the celebration isn't just for ANS and encourages anyone who's interested to attend the events in October. For KHNS News, I'm Greta Mart. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.